This is Robert Stark. My guest for today is Daryl Bazarab. Hey, Daryl.
Hey.
So you have this. You're known for basically this movement. It's called the Gangster Bolshevik Movement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I really call it a movement. It's more like an anti-social statement, but it's kind of a movement, I guess.
So, what was going on with you before you started that? And tell us about your some of your ideological background, if you will.
Back before that, I was going sort of back and forth between sort of Marxism, Leninism, and fascism—not Nazism, but like not making my mind up.
So I guess the key part of gangster Bolshevism is you're saying it's not so much a political movement, but it's an anti-social movement. So you sort of you try to glamor you. It's sort of based on showing support for basically the fuck ups of society.
Pretty much, but that is a political statement really, because you're redefining society into a smaller group basically, and then you're waging war on others, class war.
So so who do you view as your class enemies?
That's a good question. Pretty much anybody who's not my GB group is worthy of being trolled if we feel like it. But there are GB supporters, so they're kind of like they won't get the blunt of my trolling. But in terms of real enemies, it probably comes down to rivalries and people that from the past, the most extreme enemies, and then there are also, of course, like ideological enemies, like pretty much anybody who supports the current order in power right now.
And how would you define the current order of power?
Of course, the right now it usually manifests itself in the form of a two-party system and people who legitimize it. But even like the third parties are kind of still into the system. They're still part of the same class. It does come down to class warfare. I call it the political class. And the bourgeois class is another enemy, and they're kind of mixed.
Are you? Would you identify yourself from a bourgeois background?
No, because first of all, definitely not now, because I'm more like a programmer. But even from my father's background, I would say no, because the definition of bourgeois is not based on how much money you make. Like a doctor is not bourgeois. The definition of bourgeois is based on where you relate to the means of production. If you're not a manager, like running a factory or something like that, then you're not bourgeois. So that's strict Marxism for you.
And do you describe yourself as a Marxist?
But I also, I think he's a big influence, but there are ways I disagree with Marx.
What are some areas where you disagree with Marx?
One important area is that Marx guaranteed that after the establishment of socialism, society would eventually move to communism. I see no real evidence that that's the case, I think. At least, and Lenin said that he didn't know how he was going to proceed to communism anyways, and thus I think the nation and the socialism have to stay in place and have to continue to be enforced by a state. So it's like I agree from up to socialism, but I really don't see communism happening. But gangster Bolshevism is more like giving up, saying America doesn't stand a chance. And there are other ways I disagree with Marx too. For instance, like Lenin took the observation that society can quickly pass through the capitalist phase and move to socialism through forced technocracy through a dictatorship, which kind of Marx didn't really say that, and I think Lenin and Stalin were right, and Trotsky and Marx were wrong. But so there are a few ways.
And you've been saying that you've always had a fan. Your dream in life was to become a dictator.
I guess, although I don't know if it's a realistic dream.
So basically, what is the rule that I know gangster Bolsheviks, they don't directly support serial killers, but how do they glorify them? They don't support them directly, but it's more they romanticize the serial killer.
The way we talk about serial killers within our own circles and the way we talk about serial killers to somebody who's a good supporter like you, but not, I wouldn't call you a GB, probably greatly differ. For you, I'll just get some, we support them because we're trolling society.
Yeah, I think it's a way to disrespect society. That's what it's about.
Yeah, yeah.
And a big part of it is support for your allied cliques instead of the entire movement, such as the society or the nation or the whole race.
Yep. See, that gives me an excuse. Everybody knows that even before I started the gangster Bolshevik thing, I was involved in a lot of infighting and, like, foreign wars and stuff. Well, that just gives me an excuse. I just declared it legal. Like, I don't have to care about, you know, the entire race or entire nation or anything. Like, basically, I can fuck you over just because I don't like you. Because my ideology says that.
And I guess the other part of it is regionalism. So support for your local area, but not a bourgeois nationalism. Would you say, was Pol Pot, would you say he was a regionalist?
Yeah. Because his version of nationalism was extremely, like, territorial. Like, it's difficult to explain, but I don't think it was as much as, like, a Volkish nationalism as a very, very territorial nationalism.
How would you compare nationalism in, say, Europe than in America? Obviously, Europe, you could make an argument that nationalism is closer to regional nationalism when you have a bunch of small countries, but obviously the United States is such an artificial entity. How would you make that comparison?
Well, the thing is that Europe nationalism might have a regionalist component, but also there's an undertoning, like there's an underlying, like, favored ethnic group within the nationalism. For instance, like, everybody knows a French person is different from a Polish person who's different from a Russian person. Like, even, not, like, obviously there's some mixing, but, like, the ideal of each nation differs on the mean average. So it's not just a matter of regionalism. Whereas America, I guess you could say it differs a little bit too, but it's more like a disorganized pattern.
And you said on your Facebook profile, you would say that even those you're not like the biggest fan of those nationalist movements, but there still would be an improvement over the status quo, over the current system.
Yeah. And I think that's the case because first of all, like when you look at these so-called white nationalists and stuff, when they talk about unifying all Europeans into a single empire and stuff, I've never ever supported that. Like, I've always thought there should be separate nations. And the good thing, like, even though their views are very simple, I honestly have to say, I don't think the average right-wing extremist is a very deep thinker. Even so, it's like they're not going to sell their countries out and, like, you know, turn them over to Zionism and that sort of stuff. So, like, even though I really would prefer, like, a classical Marxist, like a Stalinist, Leninist, but, you know, really that's sort of more of a Russian thing anyways. Like, I think there is a Russian / Soviet, like, geographical tradition to that. Like, and I'm not sure it really is as much for export as they say it is.
And you agree with some nationalist views, like you oppose mass immigration, for instance.
Yeah, I would say so.
For primarily economic reasons?
Good question. Definitely, the economic reasons definitely play a large part of it. I would say that my views towards immigration would differ between Europe and America. I don't buy the idea that America is a purely a white country. Like, but on the other hand, I don't think that it means we should open the floodgates either. But on the but Europeans have a more, each nation has a more defined ethnic group, and so then they also have an ethnic reason not to want too many immigrants.
Do you personally identify with a particular ethnicity?
Not one single nationality, but they're all from Eastern Europe, including some Russian Jewish blood.
And
they're all Slavs, you know.
Yeah. But I noticed though, why do some of the white nationalists, they really hate you for some reason. I saw that thread. I saw some of your postings over on VNN and site before, and they really despise you and gangster Bolshevism.
I think there's a lot to it. Basically, being informed is, there's a big fight between me and the Forward.net that also involved other people like NASDAQ, what's his name, Daniel Shays, Fade the Butcher, and all them. And there's
is Fade the Butcher, or is that Hunter Wallace?
Yeah. He was against the Forward.net too, and so they all.
Yeah, and Hunter Wallace is kind of a white nationalist, so it's not really. I think it's not. It's more of a person. It's more of a personal thing, but they.
Yeah.
They try to let's say that you have some ideologically reason to go after them, and they're accusing you of outing their identities because you're an ideological enemy, but that's just not true.
That's part of it, but I honestly think that with being informed, it's really primarily that they hate Hunter Wallace the most, and they hate me because I'm someone associated with Hunter Wallace, and I kind of helped them out by fucking over the floor for him. I think they would hate Hunter Wallace even if I never existed. But with the Forward.net, it's the other way around. They hate me the most, and then they hate Fade the second most.
And I saw that article you wrote. It was posted up on Robert Lindsay, and the Robert Lindsay was what was that article you put that Robert Lindsay posted up on gangster Bolshevism? Do you remember the name of it?
He posted a view on Zionism and Judaism from the GB perspective, if you're talking about that one.
Yeah, because you kind of say about your position on that issue is either a self-sufficiency or assimilation. So is that what you're getting at?
Pretty much, but the self-sufficiency... that their qualifications for that, I wouldn't at all consider the current state of Israel to be self-sufficiency. I think that's completely unfair to all the Palestinians who were displaced, to all the Muslims and Christians who consider it a holy land. So if they were to make a state, it would have to be somewhere else. On the other hand, I don't think they should be banned from being there because they're Jewish, if they behave and get along with others. And and in terms of self-sufficiency, they can also make traditionalist communities, but it's... But I disagree with sort of activist, organized, what you might call Jewish supremacists ruling over non-Jews.
And how is your view on that issue different than the white nationalist?
I think it's pretty obvious that a lot of them it's hard to explain.
Are they?
I don't take this a good versus evil view to it.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because they do have a very much good versus evil view, which is in that regard but which is ironic because the politically correct liberals also tend to have a very much good versus evil. You just see different groups competing with each other. You don't take a sort of good versus evil view.
Yeah, and also as I pointed out in another thread in the GV group, I do think WN's severely underestimate the amount of assimilated Jews. Like they focus on the core and the extremists, like in the maybe the neocons and stuff, and they don't realize them. It's like somebody look at the Irish and the English. Like somebody from an outside Jew who doesn't know much might think that most people are either English or are Irish. But I'm sure if you actually looked into it, quite a number of people would be like mixed, part English, part Irish and stuff. Like, it's no different.
And they, I mean, there a lot of those people are, some of them are so crazy, they view, like, they say, they make a big deal about your background. And they say that defines you just because of, I mean, they're pretty obsessive and crazy about that issue.
But I think there is something to that, like, it's because I did troll them pretty extensively with.
You know what? I remember you had some ties with the JTF. They're pretty.
I kind of trolled them pretty bad with that. Like.
Yeah.
But I trolled them because I was pissed off at them. So like, I'm not saying I behaved myself on the forum on that, but I was trolling them for a reason. They were being assholes, like falsely accusing me of plagiarism and stuff, all ganging up on me, so I just decided I was going to troll the shit out of them.
And you didn't even, you don't agree with the JTF ideologically, you were just sort of using them to troll the fora.
Yeah, I might have agreed with some points, but not, like, overall. And also, I didn't realize how, like, radical they were on, like, I saw their videos discussing, like, you know, American politics and thought they were pretty reasonable, but I didn't realize how radical they were on, like, Middle Eastern politics.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing. I think, like, their view, the JTF, their views on the Middle East are very extreme, but their views on the American domestic issues are relatively close to, say, like, paleoconservatism.
Relatively, I mean, not exactly the same. They definitely have a New York influence, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I'm a Northeasterner. I'm not New Yorker, though. But.
And, so you were saying, some examples of healthy ethnocentrism. You disagree that kind of ethnocentrism is inherently evil. You would rather see it in something like the mafia.
Yeah, well, I honestly would. I don't have anything against the Italian mafia.
And you also put an emphasis on the class issue. You would be okay with that kind of ethnocentrism if it was tied to the working class. You're just against, if that type of ethnocentrism, if it represents plutocratic interests, you would be okay with it if it was representing working class interests.
Sort of, but to explain a little bit deeper, I don't like when their ethnocentrism is passed off as individualistic liberalism when it's really ethnocentrism.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like they try to present themselves as anti-racist or humanitarians or stuff like that.
Yeah, if you really are, it's one thing, but you know, if you're not, then just admit that you are ethnocentric.
So you're talking about like the groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL.
Yeah, especially the ADL to an extent, it's SPLC.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And you also say, you talk about moral stigmatization of a Holocaust revisionism. You're saying it's okay to debunk it, but they take a moralistic view where if you disagree with their views, you're an immoral person. You reject that.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I don't have a problem with them entering a debate and winning the debate legitimately, which maybe they can, maybe they can't.
You're just against, like, you. For example, you have a lot of criticisms of white nationalism, but you don't use moralistic arguments. You don't say that, like, racism is morally wrong. You avoid those arguments.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And What are and on some of the race issues you were talking about? Gangster Bolsheviks sort of they show solidarity to the black sort of thug culture? Because one thing you point out is white liberals say that they will say that the black thug culture is a product of white racism, and white racism is keeping them from living up to their full potential. You reject that.
It's kind of different. Like, the gangster Bolsheviks don't support the good blacks, we support the bad ones.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And you've actually have some rap videos up on YouTube. Can you share those?
I don't know how you're going to share them in the middle of a radio, but yeah, they're up there.
Can you explain to our audience what the themes of them are?
There's a freestyle out there. There's one that's sort of a rap, but sort of like an over the top parody of Marxism Leninism, like talking out the like various stages and stuff. And then there's one that I just uploaded randomly where I like rap battled and made fun of my enemies on the internet, and they like stored it, and I never like cared about it again.
Oh yeah, yeah. And what are your views? What are your views on sexuality?
That's a good question. I would say I support possessiveness of your own body, not necessarily because of religion, because I'm not a religious person, but just because it's yours. And so I would probably be opposed to both sluts and players.
So does gangster Bolshevism explicitly promote celibacy?
It probably favors it. It doesn't require it. It's not like the priesthood.
What is your view on, like, say, sluts and players?
A lot of them think they're special people. Like, oh, if you did it, if you had the opportunity, you would do it just as much as they did. No, they're not special people. They're just people who don't have a self-esteem, and then they go to make up for it by screwing around.
What are your thoughts on that Elliot Roger guy?
That's a complex one. Like, first of all, like, I'm not gonna publicly endorse a street shooter like a public like that, but like his first his reasoning for his misogyny sounded really corny at first. It was basically, oh, I want these women and these women don't want me and I'm rejected. I thought that was really lame. Like, if a GB did go after a woman and the woman rejected them, the GB wouldn't really give a shit. They just move on. But then I have to say, some of his other comments, like, did sound pretty GB-ish. That doesn't mean I'm endorsing his shooting.
Yeah, I know. What, can you give an example of what did he say that sounded GB-ish?
I don't have the quote exactly, but like, basically how he like wanted to punish all women and stuff, and how he wanted to like hold down and rape women. I mean, I know we don't like.
You don't condone that. On the record, you don't condone that.
Yeah, it was pretty like it was an LOL. I have to say.
So are you gangster Bolshevism? If views men as superior to women.
Not necessarily though, because I'd say a lot of men are scum. For a different reason. I really have it out for pussy whipped men. So I probably hate them as much as women. So.
Do you have any women who are supporters of gangster Bolshevism, or is it just men?
In the GB group, there've been people who came in, but none of them really. Two of them caused a lot of trouble, and like one like was hitting on me and stuff. And was trying to use it to like turn me against the Jacob Israel / Frank Zito / Elizabeth Smith Magnano. So most of them are infiltrators that come in. I mean, and the other ones are just kind of in the background. There's nobody really at the forefront.
And I know Jacob Israel has some interesting. He has some interesting views, because I remember there was some incident happened, and someone made a joke with, I don't know if it was you, but oh, was it Jacob Israel or was it Robert Lindsay?
Yeah. Are you talking about the thing about the age of of women.
Yeah. Jacob Israel into that, obsessed with that.
It was Robert Lindsay who posted the study, and the study was, like, he thought that his study proved his viewpoint that all men are essentially pedophiles, and that some are more honest and some are not. And then it showed different women and had people select the women, and then, wow, everyone's a pedophile because of the results. Turns out the study was a complete joke made by somebody who was just having a laugh. But Lindsay didn't know that, and he quoted it like it was a real study and made a whole blog article about it. And then Ed commented, well, you know, it never rang true unless you know the people who were being studied, you know, were Robert Lindsay, Jacob Israel, and my ex-wife's, you know, former husband. I just don't see it ring true.
So does gangster bolshevism glorify sex offenders too, or just serial killers?
not really. And it's hard to pin down Jacob Israel's position on that because it seems to waver.
So another famous...
As far as serial killers go, I always make my way out to say that I'm disappointed that sex plays a role in it. It's I'm not going to say anything more. But
okay, you don't want to incriminate yourself.
There are different type of motives, and I'm disappointed with the prevalence of sex as a common motive over things like money and power and stuff.
Speaking about money and power, one person you really admire is Bernie Madoff. And part of a gangster Bolshevik theme is to kind of people who sort of work the system and they get the money out of it.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also, he did a great service to the class struggle by bringing down the system like that.
Yeah, because Bernie Madoff, a lot of those Wall Street bankers are ripping off the middle class. But Bernie Madoff actually, he ripped, most of the majority of the people he ripped off were the wealthy.
And the way he got caught and like and exposed it so much, like honestly, he did a more anti-revisionist socialist I know said that he did more to the cause of the working class than like any socialist party could have done.
And you have this theory called it's called the termite theory of being a termite on society.
Basically, it all comes down to stepping outside the process and playing by your own rules. And by playing by your own rules, you're no longer trying to mobilize a mass movement or get the majority of votes or something like that. You're stepping out of this society, sort of eating away at it, struggling with your struggle, and your struggle is your trolling.
And what are some of your most, give us an example, what are some of the highest moments of your trolling?
Obviously, I'm not sure if I should go into this again, because it's all recorded on, you know, like American Onslaught Radio, but the various hackings I did have to rank up there pretty high.
Okay.
The JTF thing that I've already mentioned, that was a...
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, that was a pretty fun.
And here's a...
If I think any more, I'll tell you later. Right.
Okay. Here you have a post, the definition of a tool, someone who clearly isn't accepted in the upper strata of society, yet still loves society. So you basically... So the key thing is disrespecting social hierarchies. I remember when, do you remember Robert Lindsay posted that article where he calls himself like a Sigma?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember.
So big thing is you disrespect social hierarchies.
Pretty much, and like seriously, like I kind of have a little bit of an athletic background. Like, in terms of, like, running basketball and stuff, when I was in high school and still run now and stuff.
Yeah,
like any,
I was on cross country, and I still run as well.
But, like, any, like, person who's any good at, like, something like that, like, doesn't have any respect for the person who's better than them. Like, you're finding how to take them down, so. But no, if I don't win, I'm not going to, like, you know, just, like, you know, like, love the winner and stuff. Oh, fuck them.
You just, would you hold a grudge against the winner, or would you just sort of...
No. No, that's not nearly as personal, but in terms of society and class and stuff, then yeah, there's more of a grudge. What's particularly annoying is people who think their success is justified by their merit and don't at all attribute their success to luck. And like, I mean, it's a combination of persistence and luck, but anyways... I would support disrespecting arrogant people.
Arrogant people.
Yeah.
What is does it matter what reasons are arrogant for?
That's a good question. Not really, because arrogance and confidence are not the same thing.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. What are one thing to point out is what are some of your views on the mainstream left as some people might describe as a bourgeois liberalism?
Yeah. My main view is that first of all, they have no understanding of Marxist dialectics or Maoism, Marxism, Leninism, Chavez's or anything like that. They're the far right, they're very simple-minded, and most of them are into this identity politics, like women's rights or black rights and stuff, and they basically want to take the same system and put a black face on it. Like, it's complete fake distraction and discrediting of a legitimate class struggle.
Yeah, like they think corporations are great as long as CEOs are women or minorities.
Yeah, pretty much. They're completely useless. I honestly would rather if the far right took power than they would. That's how much I think they're useless.
I mean, you think someone like David Duke would be a vast improvement over the mainstream left.
It would be an improvement.
Yeah, exactly. And you also mentioned you admire a lot of people like Pol Pot and Stalin, but you're not a fan of Trotsky per se.
Yeah. You want to know why that's the case? Because I think, obviously, Trotsky, first of all, aside from any Marxist theories, he provided a perfect caricature of like everything that that's wrong with Jewish people that Hitler took advantage of. But second of all, I think he was like an opportunist. I don't think he was a Menshevik, but he was only used Menshevism because he wasn't loyal to the Soviet populations. He really was more interested in revolutions in Europe, and so he used his Menshevism as opposed to his Bolshevism. Like, Bolshevism is more for a local revolution and forcing Russia to go through capitalism very quickly because Russia was like a backward society, not ready for capitalism and therefore not ready for socialism. But Bolshevism, well, he was a Menshevik instead and was more focused on Europe because he was a radical internationalist. He just was a traitor the whole time. I don't know. I just think he was a. I just I don't can't really find anything positive to say about Trotsky except for that he was articulate and good at writing.
And gangster Bolshevism. Why do you choose the word Bolshevism? What is the significance of that word?
It kind of sounds cool, like gangster Bolshevism.
Yeah.
And because we're trolling like right here. But then it kind of also sounds trollish because, like, Bolshevism is, like, exclusive to Russia, but we're not Russian, so. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like
yeah,
Hitler,
Hitler
was sort of trollish by taking the swastika. That's an Indian symbol, but he stole it. Like, we're kind of being trollish with that.
Yeah, it's the same concept. I see. It's not, doesn't mean it's exactly the same as Bolshevism, but it's just sort of a way to troll.
But we are influenced by them. But we're not exactly the same.
And you say disrespect for authority when you are on the same page as authority. So you don't, you're not necessarily you're not an anarchist.
No. But again, you have to differentiate between the ideal society and the acceptance that America will never live up to the ideal. Because I've accepted that America is never going to live up to my ideal society, maybe we, on the surface, seem similar to anarchism, but that's not the ideal society.
So even, like, did these different movements, like, say, anarchism or white nationalism, you may disagree with them, but do you think they're useful in disrespecting society or being against the system? Do you think they have any purpose, like, say, anarchism or white nationalism?
Anarchism might have some purpose in that regard. I don't think white nationalism does. White nationalism might have a small amount of use in getting people to realize that race exists and getting people to realize the extremist Zionism and stuff. However, white nationalism is quite wrong about things of race. I'm quite an ardent follower of classic anthropology, which includes Carlton Kuhn and also more recent anthropology studies, and I stick to it very closely. And I do think white nationalists even simplify racial issues.
Yeah, and back to what we were talking about earlier, like you were saying, opposition to placing all the blame on the Jews, instead capitalism and class conflict are used to explain a lot of these phenomenons, like job loss, massive immigration, imperialist wars, globalization, and you point out that Jews themselves are seen as being divided on class interest.
That's all true, but it is also true that since I wrote that, my attitudes have changed a little bit. It's still true in a literal sense, but I actually do think that Zionists are the main controlling group over America and will have to be getting rid of it if there is any change, in addition to other elites. Like, they're not these. But
Do you think the Zionism is big of issue as the powers of corporations?
Obviously, if there were no corporations, if there were no capitalist finance, then Zionism wouldn't matter. So the corporations are like the nutrition of Zionism. But and even without the Zionism, there's still be problems like the Vietnam War and stuff. Like, you can't really blame that on Zionists. So it's really divided 50-50, I think.
But you do agree with some of the arguments made by Mearsheimer and Waltz about the Iraq War.
Yeah, but on the other hand, while I do agree with some of the arguments, I do also think I don't think that the arguments about money and power are relevant. Clearly, there are secondary benefits like of imperialism involved as well.
And do you totally reject the racial anti-Semitism and white nationalism? You totally reject that.
Yeah, for instance, I reject the idea that Europeans and Middle Easterners constitute separate races to begin with. They're actually a continuum of a Caucasian race, divided on a north-south gradient, and with there's no magical line separating two. Second of all, I would reject the idea that Jews are pure Palestinians. I would say they're more of a mixed population along the lines of, say, Italians, Greeks, clustering around that area in autosomal DNA tests, which are tested the entire genome. So I do reject them as simplistic in the way they see things.
And where do you think they're coming from? Why do you think they've came to that conclusion?
Again, I think they're trying to oversimplify things to put it in the most easy to understand ideology for the masses.
So I guess we can get into some of more of your views on class. What are your views? Would you view the upper class as the enemy?
I do. It's more that I view the system as the enemy, not every upper class person. Maybe as a mean group, they're the enemy, but not every. Like, obviously, Bernie Madoff is upper class. I don't view him as the enemy. So
I guess back to what it says, this idea is you can be part of the upper class, but you can sort of work the system and disrespect society at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could basically be trade. You could basically be, if you're upper class and a class traitor, then you're not an enemy.
And there's so much of the middle class in this country, they worship the rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as I said before, I said Trotsky, you can't say anything good about him except his ability to write. Well, he did make one analysis about Mussolini, who was a former Marxist before he became a fascist. And what Mussolini said was that the middle classes politically never really have their own stands. Middle class people, when put under hard pressure, they either go with the upper class or the lower class politically. Like, they really don't develop their own separate interests. And I think that's what Trotsky noticed about Mussolini's analysis and agreed with, and I think it's probably true in most cases.
I think you're right, because, I mean, I probably identify most of the middle class because that's my background. But the problem is, I mean, the middle class, the reason I think that the middle class is being destroyed in this country, and we're seeing incomes, a class system where you have the ultra rich and the underclass. But the problem, but part of the blame is on the middle class, because the middle class has never organized on its own class interests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but according to those theoretical statements I made, it never will. But I don't know if that's true or not.
I mean, it's hard to say. Maybe you're right, but who knows? Before we wrap up, is anything else significant about either yourself or about gangster Bolshevism that I didn't touch on?
I don't want to go to like an autobiography like I could, but in terms of like gangster Bolshevism, what's significant? I think that one thing that's very significant is that using my real name, Daryl, and using, you know, Facebook and making radio shows and stuff has substantially grown it. Like, when I was, like, trying to be all highbrow and intellectual and make, like, you know, culture, like, arguments about, you know, techno-fascism and anti-revisionist socialism and stuff, and try to, like, act like I was, like, 1% sorry for all the hacking and trolling I did. Like, I wasn't growing at all anonymously. but when I took the low road, the trolling road, the fuck you road, I have enormously grown. So I and that was all done on purpose. Like, so.
Oh, and one more thing. You have one of your things is you have a guy with who's, I forget his name, but he writes to people in prison.
Ed.
Yeah, Ed.
What about
him? What is your view on that? Do you think it's important to sort of what is your view on people in prison and the concept of being in prison?
Well, obviously, if your goal is to annoy the authorities and lash out at society, it's a pretty surefire way to do it. Like, and even the. Aside from the moral issue as why they're there, they are indeed a great group of, like, if you're looking for antisocial people, I mean, that's where the fish are if you're going to fish.
Have you ever visited prison?
I guess, meaning we visited Jonathan Lee Richards, me and Ed did.
Oh, yeah. What was it like?
I mean, it was pretty cool. Like, on the American Onslaught Radio, we show an interview with me. Like, we really go into every. Like, I really, like, because that was the same day I visited him. I went into a lot of details, like the things we talked about and his Sandy Hook prank and stuff. But,
what was his Sandy Hook prank?
You never know about that? That's.
No.
When Jonathan Lanza did the shooting, Jonathan Lee Riches. Or Adam Lanza did the shooting.
Yeah.
Jonathan Lee Richards went to Connecticut and called himself Jonathan Lanza, like saying that he was like the the uncle of the shooter and stuff, and then they interviewed him and they ran with it, and he was like Roseanne Barr was talking about it and stuff, and he was there playing like he was the related to the shooter, but he was really, and he got all this coverage and it was hilarious, but it was really a probation violation, so he got sent back to jail for leaving the state of Pennsylvania and stuff.
Oh yeah. That's a good example of trolling.
Yeah. He's probably considered the top dog. Like, most people say I won GB of the year in 2013 and 2012 he won, but he's considered and he won because of that Sandy Hook prank. Like I won because of the Florida.net database issue. But most people consider him the man to beat.
Yeah. So, Daryl, it was excellent having you on. That's all that was Daryl Bazarab. That's all we have for today's show. So take care, and we'll be back with you next time.
I have one comment. I am capable of discussing more in more of an intellectual style if I desire to, but I choose to be a dick and troll just because I feel like it.
All right. Well, thanks again for being on. And
okay.
That's.